Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing writer-director Brian Troxell, and I think I have him on the line. Let me see. Okay, Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Glad you could be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay, well, I know that you just wrapped on the movie Intrusive Behavior, so I kind of want to start there and talk about that process. How did that film go?
Oh, it went very well. We kind of shot it in two parts. We shot like half of it last July, and then we wrapped on the second half at the end of this January. And it was a pretty great experience. I mean, everything went pretty smooth, smoother than things have gone in the past. And I can't really talk too much about the plot because I don't want to give anything away. But but I worked with a great bunch of people, great actors, great crew all the way around, and that really just makes my job so much easier.
Well, I do know it involves a very spooky little girl.
Yes. Taylor Frace plays Heidi at a young age, and she was just really incredible. I mean, she. For the moment that I'd seen her, I knew I wanted her in the film, and we shot like 5 or 6 days with her straight, and this little girl just blew everybody away. She knew her lines. She was ready to go, and the fact that she was only 9 or 10 at the time, I mean, it was just incredible that she showed up and just was so professional and just loved working with her.
Did you have to work with her on some of the more dramatic scenes? Did you have to do a lot of hands-on work with her to get her to do those scenes, or how did that work?
Actually, you know, it's funny because when we were doing the scene scheduling as far as how many scenes we could shoot per day, we narrowed it down because we thought that. We thought, okay, we can't shoot as much with Taylor because we're really going to have to work with her to get those things out of her. And no, she just showed up prepared, and she just nailed everything. Maybe 2 or 3 retakes we might have had to do, but it wasn't like an all-day job with her. She knew what she was doing. She was coached on it prior, and it was really a really great experience.
Great. And because you broke it up in two parts like that, was that difficult as far as consistency? How did that work out?
Well, no, because it actually was pretty easy because the film takes place, like the stuff we shot in July, and then the story jumps 15 years into the future.
Oh,
and then the second part we shot in January. So pretty much everybody but 2 actors, you know, we shot with them in July, and then 2 actors came along into the January shoot. But other than that, with the story jumping 15 years, we didn't have to worry so much about continuity. We didn't have to worry about anything. Because everything had changed in those 15 years. It was, you know, the kids were all grown up now, so we got a whole new slew of actors in, and it was pretty easy. I wouldn't do it if the story had to stay on the same, basically in the same time frame, but since we were jumping 15 years, it made it a lot easier.
Yeah. Now, what inspired this project?
You know what? I think it was pretty much my wife, Jonna. She started out with an idea, and I just sat down and wrote, and so we hammered out the script. But really, a lot of the ideas that we do, you know, comes from her. She'll be thinking about something all day and says, oh, this will be great, or this sounds like a decent storyline. And then I'll just sit down, and I'll hammer out a rough draft. And then after that, me and her will sit down and just iron out the script. But this just came because I think she was getting tired of seeing when little children are on screen, they're either possessed or they're vampires or they're demons or whatever. And this little girl is none of that. She just has a really bad behavior problem. And so we kind of didn't want to go in the direction that everybody else seems to go.
You have done some films with other kind of evil children in the past. Seems to be kind of a theme. I saw a couple of things that you've done that have that. Right?
Yeah, we did a short film a few years ago called Spare the Rod, where we had a young girl named Lindsay Reason played a ghost, a little girl in that, and that was a lot of fun. Like I said, it was a short film. It got into some festivals, went into distribution, and Yeah, I don't know. You find a group of people that you enjoy working with, and you try to kind of stick with them along the way because you know what you're going to get out of them, and it's fun to work with them when they're young and then work with them again when they're older. Because Lindsay Reese in Spare the Rod, I think, was like 9 or 10, and then she was also in Intrusive Behavior, and she's like almost 15 or 16. So it's nice to see them grow up and to see how good they become over the years.
Now, Spare the Rod got distribution in Canada, right?
Yes, it got distribution through Canada, and I can't even begin to tell you how many festivals it went into. It was quite a few that we got in with that one. But
did the festivals help you get distribution, or did you have a link there?
What was that?
Did the festivals help you get the distribution, or did you have a link with a company in Canada?
No. Actually, the distribution didn't come through any festival. We were contacted through the distribution company in Canada all outside of the festival circuit, and they asked if they could pick it up and carry it. So, yeah, firstly, I still don't know how they seen it, you know, because I know it wasn't linked through any festivals through them.
Wow. That's great. Now, you also have another film that just went on the film festival circuit, Ambiguous Figure.
That was my wife's project from the very beginning. She kind of handled everything from the script writing to the directing. I thought she did a really good job. That was with Jennifer Ward and Jessica Cheek. And that's a 3 or 4 minute short where Jessica just plays a little girl that just beats her mom to death with a with a meat tenderizer. And that was up for 2 awards actually.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it a Best Actress award, too, for the little girl?
Yes. Yeah, she was nominated for Best Actress, and it was also up for Best Horror Short.
Great. And you seem to be all over the festival circuit, and also you go to Spooky Empire and different places like that. Are you going to be going against festivals with Intrusive Behavior?
Yes, we're hoping to have a release date in early April for Intrusive, and then once we know when it's going to be released, then it's easier to start looking at festivals to see which ones we can get into. We'll definitely be submitting into like Spooky Empire and the other local Florida festivals as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you used to be Scruffy Ruffian Productions, and you changed your name. Tell me about that and why you decided to change.
Well, because we first started doing this about 6 years ago, and we were kind of doing it just as a hobby on the side, you know, kind of something just to do. So the name Scruffy Ruffian really was kind of almost like a joke. A friend of mine said that's what we should call it, and we did. But then once we started working with better people and our stuff started actually getting out there, we felt we needed a more professional name. So we kind of dropped that one and went to the one we have now.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of teamed with some new partners. Tell me about that, too.
Oh yeah, well we started out doing everything ourselves, and then we hooked up with Paul Stewart from 316 Productions here in Winter Park, and he took over our cinematography and our editing of that things, and that just took us to a whole new production level. I mean, the production value has gone through the roof once he came on board, and with his level of knowledge, his level of equipment, it just really. You know, and I was able to step back and just direct that. I didn't have to worry about shooting, didn't have to worry about editing, and that all fell on his shoulders. So it just took what we were doing to like the next level.
Mm-hmm. And you've brought in some interesting people in some of your films. Like you had Cam Lee, the death metal singer for Deep Seated. What made you bring him on board?
Because with Cam, it was funny because what we were going for with Deep Seated is. I wanted, he plays the bad guy, and what we were looking for was somebody who would allow the victims to just, we weren't faking anything. Like when Cam gets slapped or spit on in the film, we wanted that to really happen. We didn't want to have to fake that. So we wanted somebody that would actually let the actresses do that to him. And when I talked to Cam, Cam's like, yeah, no problem. They can do whatever they want. And it worked out well. And definitely with his death metal, you know, his background and everything that he brought on board, he brought a huge fan base, you know, to the project for us. And it was that just that dark persona that he has that really brought a lot to the character.
Mm-hmm. So was his music also in the film?
Oh yeah, we actually used quite a few of his songs in the film. Original music. It was great that he allowed us, you know, gave us permission to use it and stuff, which again brought that whole death metal feel, which we were trying to go for. We thought that would be a decent twist to put on there.
How important is soundtrack for a horror film?
For film, I think the soundtracks are really, really important. And it's great when you hook up with like local bands that aren't signed, that'll give you permission, and you're using original music. As long as the music fits what you're trying to do, it can really definitely raise your production value instead of using stock music or the music that everybody seems to be using. When you can go out and find a local band and get permission to use their music, yeah, it definitely enhances the whole project.
Mm-hmm. How have you found soundtracks for your projects? Have you kind of put a notice out looking for people, or have you just gotten lucky and met some people? How have you done that?
Yeah, I mean, we go out, you know, a lot of times what we'll do is, you know, we'll check to see what the local scene's doing, different local bars, and we'll go out and we'll listen to different bands at different bars, and then after they're done, if it's something we want to talk, you know, go more into, then we'll meet up with them and talk to them. I've also got a few, you know, through Facebook where I've sent messages out, and, you know, and actually there's a couple that I'm waiting to hear back from now for Intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
To see if they're interested in basically donating or giving us permission to use some of their music.
Okay. Whatever happened to the zombie movie, your Zombians, that you're doing?
Well, Zombians, it's still out there. I mean, the trailer for it, the promo trailer for it, is actually still out there somewhere. I get an email every once in a while from somebody who's seen it. That was kind of put on the back burner. At the time, and even now, still, I mean, there's just so many zombie movies that are coming out. We just didn't want to get lost in the shuffle. So we figured maybe we would just wait until, you know, we were going to wait until the whole zombie thing kind of faded down a little bit. And then The Walking Dead comes on, you know, every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, now it's at the height. It's, you know, zombies at the height of everybody's popularity. So, again, you know, I don't like doing like what everybody else is doing. So we do try to stay away from the zombies and the vampires and the werewolves. And we try to do something different so we don't get lost in the shuffle. And that's one of the reasons we really never went forward with Zombies, because it's just another zombie movie, and that's what we try to avoid.
Mm-hmm. You seem to know a lot about horror in general. Do you see a trend besides zombies? Do you see like a trend coming of something else, like what's going to be next after the zombies? Any idea?
Well, right now, I mean, it's usually whatever Hollywood's doing. I've already independent goes. You know, when Twilight came out, everybody wanted to do vampires. You know, then it was the werewolves, and then it was the vampire hunters and the werewolf hunters. That seems to be the trend right now. You're always going to have your true staples, your true, you know, slasher movies. The kids are out in the woods camping, and somebody just comes up and kills them. You're always going to have those staples. But really, the trends, I think, changes with what's big in Hollywood. What's drawing people to the theaters, I think that's what the independent seems to flow towards.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these horror films, it seems like some of them are getting away from a lot of the excessive violence that, you know, you don't see, like Saw, for example. Now you're getting some other types of horror. Now, in your films, you do have a lot of violence and slasher aspect to it. When do you think that the violence is too much, or the horror, the gore is too much?
I mean, if that's what you need to get your movie out there, then I think it's too much, because you got that fine line between horror or slasher and then in the torture porn, where that's all. If you put in, you know, 90 minutes of just chaining people to a wall and cutting off body parts, and you don't have a strong storyline, you don't have strong actors, then I think you're just throwing blood against the wall, basically, to get your movie out there, to get your movie seen. If you've got to do that to get your movie out there, then, yeah, I think it's a little excessive. Because I think even your goriest horror movie has to start with a good script and a good storyline. And it's hard because everything's so cliched, it seems, these days. But if you really put your mind through it, I think you can come up with a different avenue and still get your blood and still get your gore, but not go over the top, because you don't need to, because your storyline is going to what's going to attract people to your story, you know, to your film.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I've watched many movies, a lot of independent stuff, where it's nothing but blood and gore, and it's like, who are these people? You know, there's no storyline. And to me, then, that's all they're doing is just loading it up with that stuff just to make a movie. And, you know, that's when I, if you got to do that, I think you're over the top.
Mm-hmm. Another slasher film that you did kind of in the spring break slasher kind of realm is Fort Slaughterdale. What happened to that project?
That's still in post-production. We're looking at different editing options for that. We had a few issues, that you run into every once in a while. So we're looking at some different options on that, but it's still there. I mean, it's still being worked on. It's still in post and stuff, and we're just trying to see what would be the best way to get it out there, whether it's a feature or whether we just cut it down to a short film. And we're just looking at those options right now. But that's basically taken second base to Intrusive because we've gotten so much attention on this film. And I've gotten so many emails about from different festivals for Intrusive. We kind of made a decision like, okay, let's make Intrusive our priority. And then after this is done, we're going to go back and take another look at Fort Slaughterdale to see what would be the best way to approach that one.
It seems like you're just doing back-to-back projects. You're doing quite a lot.
Well, actually, we're only really doing like it. Only we're going to do like one every year. It's just that what happens is, Fort Lauderdale, we shot October. I mean, of last year, of 2011, we did
right.
Fort Lauderdale. And then we did the first half Intrusive in 2012. So it's really one a year. It's just that when it goes into post production, you know, if you shoot an hour and a half film, it doesn't take an hour and a half to edit it, you know, so it could be a post production for a year. And then if you're doing something else, that goes into post-production. And if they come out about the same time, then it looks like you're doing a whole bunch of stuff when you're really not.
Right. Now, how do you do your special effects and your makeup? And do you have makeup people come in? Or do you guys do some of the effects yourself?
If it's real simple and basic, a lot of time we'll do it ourselves. We have to get into the intense stuff like Deep Sea that we brought in. Special effects people to do all of our special effects and the makeup. For Ambiguous Figure, we did our own. In Intrusive, we brought in makeup people for that as well. It just really depends on what level we're going for. If it's something that we can't handle, then yeah, we'll bring people in to do it. But if it's basic, then you know we know enough about it that we can handle the basic stuff.
Do you make all your own blood?
Yes, we do. And we make our own guts.
That's the best formula for making blood, because everybody has a different way of doing it.
Well, actually, there's really, we kind of use two types. So we're going to be working outside. We use the already bottled blood that you can buy in the stores if we're going to be working outside. Because you start mixing your own stuff up, like they would like to use chocolate syrup or the corn syrup.
Right.
If you use it outside, you start attracting every biting ant in the neighborhood. And when you got somebody laying on the ground in the woods and they're covered with sugar, it ain't going to be too pleasant for them.
Yeah.
So we try to use blood that's not going to attract the bugs if we're working outside. But if we're inside, you know, then we can go with the corn syrup and everything else.
What's been the most challenging film or the most challenging scene in a film that you've done so far?
I think you could probably pick any of the death scenes in Deep Sea because in there we actually cut body parts off of people and we used prosthetics and we used, you know, body forms that were made for the scenes. And in the one scene where the girl's on the table and gets her leg cut off, she had to stay in place for 2 hours prior to even the cameras rolling just to get the prosthetic attached and in 110 degree heat. And then you got like one take to get it right because after that, you know, you got one leg to use, you know, one fake leg to use. And so we had like four cameras set up from different angles so we could get everything we needed in one take. And, you know, you just got to watch so your actress doesn't get dehydrated. It was real challenging because of the heat and everything else that was playing against us. And the 2 hour setup time and then that 1 5-second take was worth it, but it was definitely challenging.
Wow. You've learned quite a bit through the years. What would you tell someone that's new to creating a horror film? What would be your advice to make sure to do this, you know, whatever it is?
You know, I would always tell people that Stephen and I have even said this already to people. If you've never done it before, start out with doing short films. Work out your system, work out your bugs doing short films before you try to tackle a feature. When you're shooting, whether you're shooting it yourself or you have somebody else shooting, always shoot what you need And then if there's time, you can shoot what you want as far as shots go. But always make sure you get what you need first before you move on to something else. And just really plan it out and give yourself enough time to complete it.
Now, both of you and Donna attend Full Sail. Are you still there, or did you finish at Full Sail?
Oh, no, we're still there. We go online, so...
Okay.
So we do it, but, you know, everything's done at our pace, you know. But, yeah, we still attend. We just do it online.
How has that program been for you?
Oh, the program's been great. I mean, I've learned so much, you know. It's a little different than being in a class because you don't have that classroom setting going online. But just to see what you get provided to you and the resources that are provided to you is just it's amazing. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I know that I've learned so much already that I'm taking away from the class, and it was definitely a good move to do that.
Great. And now you're doing, there's another project that I saw that you're working on which looks a little different called Pirate Maidens. What is that about?
Pirate Maidens of Matacombe Bay. That's something that started out as a joke, but we got more serious about it, and I've got a gentleman by the name of Mike Clickenbeard who's working on a script, and he's doing an amazing job. And we just shot a promo that's still in post for the movie, and basically we're going to wrap this up for investor package and see if we can get maybe some sort of funding to shoot it. It's a story of a female pirate captain who falls in love with a native lady, a native princess. She gets taken prisoner, and she has to go rescue her with her crew of like-minded women. So it's a lot of fun, and it was great shooting the promo. We had a good time shooting the promo and working with a young lady by the name of Mel Heflin. She's just an amazing person to work with, and she's our pirate captain, and she's just so into this right now and helping us out in every way to get this out there. It's just incredible. So I'm looking forward to it. It's way different than what we've ever done before. It's more of an action romance story and has no horror in it whatsoever. But like I said, it's a new challenge that I'm looking to take on. And it's so far, it's been a lot of fun.
Where did you shoot it?
The promo we shot, the first half we shot out in Ponce Inlet. On this deserted island, and then we last Saturday we were down in Clearwater shooting on a pirate ship, getting some pirate ship footage.
Wow, and where'd you get the wardrobe for this?
That was the most amazing part. The girls that came on board to help out with it, they provided their own clothes. I mean, they got their stuff together, and yeah, I mean we shot this for basically next to nothing, and because the girls. That came on and said, I can come on, I can help you out, I got my own outfit. And so we really didn't have to provide anything. It was great. And they just did a wonderful job, all the girls involved.
Wow. So you're hoping to make this into a feature film and trying to get investors now or short? Okay.
That's what we're looking for. Once the promo gets done, well, once the promo comes out of post, we're going to put I'm working with another woman who's going to help us put it together and get it out to investors and see what we can do with it.
Great. So what else do you have that you're working on besides that?
That's it. That's it. This morning we shot the last pickup shot for Intrusive. That was just a pickup shot. But no, we've already said the next few weeks we're just going to stay at home.
Yeah. Where do you find all your crew and your cast? Do you put up castings?
For the cast we do. We'll hold auditions. I mean, you work with so many great, great actors in the Central Florida area that when you write a script, you get that image in your head who would be great for that role. So a lot of times we do handpick people. But then we will have auditions that we usually hold at Full Sail, you know, like everybody else does. The crew, again, through time, you work with the same people and you know who you work well with, you know who you want on your set, so you go back to the same crew people. And, you know, that's really the way I know a lot of people do it. And that's nothing different, you know, nothing different from anybody. Once you get that core group of people, you don't want to lose them. You want to stay with them, project after project, because you know, you don't even have to explain things. Everybody kind of knows what everybody else is thinking, and everything just flows. And it makes everything so much easier and so much more fun.
Yeah. And you guys have a passion for this. When did you start getting interested in film? Originally,
about 6 years ago, My first time going to Spooky Empire, actually, and going to watching the film festivals, and then coming home and just watching the cheap, the really, really bad horror movies that are out there, like on, you know, that were on Netflix or on DVD, and then you look at it and say, you know what, this doesn't look that hard, and me and my wife were like, well, we can do this. Well, which we did, but we were dead wrong. It was a lot harder than we thought. But once we did it once, we had to keep doing it. And then, you know, once you get to that point, once you get bit by that bug, you just want to keep doing it and you want to keep getting better. You know, that's how we always felt. As long as our current project is better than our last project, we kind of knew we were on the right track.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those elements that make for a good horror film?
You have to have a good twist. I mean, you know... When you sit down and watch a movie, you can't already know how it's going to end 10 minutes into the movie, because then it's just, then you're just sitting there waiting for the end. It has to have a good twist. It's got to have a good storyline. And it's got to have characters that you learn to care about as the film goes on. I guess that could be said for almost any type of genre. But with horror, you know, it's so bad within the first 10 minutes of meeting the cast, you know who's going to die, you know who's going to survive, and you know what girl's going to take her clothes off. I mean... Those movies I try to turn off, because it's like you can see that coming a mile away. But if you start getting characters that you really care about, and then when something bad does happen, you really feel bad for them. That's kind of making just getting your good cast that can get into the story and get into their characters and really make their characters believable. That's what I think makes any story good.
What do you think you need to put into the script to make those characters really stand out and be believable?
You got to give them a decent backstory. You got to give them intelligence. You got to let them play an intelligent character to where they're not just reciting lines. And good backstory. That's what we try to do, and we try to give them some depth, and we try to let them express some emotions and some feelings as well, so they appear human, and it's somebody that you want to care about. You know, you want to hate the bad guy, so you got to make that person really, really bad. And really evil, so they're not likable. And as long as you can get your cast to convey that to the audience, I think it makes a good element for a good story.
Mm-hmm. And what inspires you when you come up with these projects? Do you watch a bunch of horror films and try to get inspired, or go to a creepy looking set? You know, I saw that like on your Tumblr, you're looking for some of the other films, and you had a really cool looking house. They said might inspire people. Do you kind of do that too?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. When we're out and about and we see something and say, "Wow, this would be a great set," or "This we could do, it would be a great scene to shoot here." Something else, we try to push the envelope without crossing the line with things, and that's always a lot of fun, because you got to have your gimmick when you do a film. You got to have that one thing that nobody else is doing that they're going to remember your movie by. And so we try to take something. And we'll try to cross the line, or should I say approach the line, and get close to crossing it. In Deep Seated, instead of doing a lot of cutaways during the violence, we showed the violence actually happening. You know, so that was kind of our gimmick. Instead of showing, you know, like when the girl gets her leg cut off, instead of showing right before and right after, we actually showed the saw cutting through the bone. So so that was our gimmick for that. That's what we try to do. We try to take what everybody else is doing and take it to the next step and kind of push the envelope and make people a little upset with us. I mean, if people look at us kind of weird, then we're successful. That's what gives us a good feeling. But if we're just doing the same cookie-cutter stuff that everybody else is doing, then you just get lost in that shuffle. You know, I want people to not like what we're doing, because that means we're pissing people off and we're disgusting people, and that's a great feeling.
And so it's a little bit of controversy goes a long way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in intrusive behavior, we got a shower scene with a 12-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is doing that?
Yeah.
So
you think that just gets you attention, basically, by doing that. And but you always have, like, a reason for it behind it.
Yeah. Oh, there's always a reason for it. There's never nothing thrown in as gratuitous, where we're just doing it to get the people to raise eyebrows. Everything we do plays into the story. Everything we do helps advance the plot. But like I said, if you take what other people are doing, you take the run-of-the-mill stuff and you take it to the next level, that's where people are going to raise eyebrows. And they're going to be like, wow, we never seen that coming. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, how do people see your projects? Or they're, you know, kind of all over the festivals and stuff. Is there any particular way that they can see them online or anything like that?
We do have some stuff that's online. Usually, if anybody through the website, they can check stuff out. And if there's something that's not available or they can't find, they can just always email us. We've always got copies here of stuff.
Okay.
So, I mean, like I said, it's out there, but like I said, some of them, if they can't find it, they can just email me or contact us through Facebook, and we've always got stuff that we can send out to people.
So why don't you give me your website for everybody?
It's quezonfilms.com.
Can you spell it?
And what's that?
Can you spell it so that people can make sure they have it spelled right?
It's quezonfilms.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they can go there, and there's contact information there as well.
Okay, so you have your email up there and everything.
Yes.
Okay,
and links
great.
To our
so,
Facebook pages as well.
Yeah, you're all over the place. You have Tumblr, you have Facebook, you have YouTube, and also some of your videos are under Scruffy Ruffians on YouTube.
Yes.
So they can check that out as well. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to change. I didn't want to change the name on anything that we already had out there under Scruffy Ruffian, because that's what people are going to find. That's why I don't want to start confusing people. That's why we kind of just started fresh a few years ago and went forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed on your IMDb, I think some of the projects that you did under Scruffy Ruffians are under your new name also on IMDb. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, because as long as it's under my name, Brian, it'll show up on both.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's what it is, yeah. Okay. Well, anything else that you want to add as we're running out of time? Anything else coming up that you want to put out there?
Just everybody go to the Intrusive Behavior fan page and click like on that if you haven't already, and just keep, follow along with the deadline. That'll be coming out soon, and when it does, check it out.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much, Brian. Thanks
Thank
for being
you
on
so
the show
much.
Today. You're welcome.
Thanks for having me. Right.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Brian Troxell. And as you can see or hear anyway, he does a lot of horror films, and you can check all those out online. He's got Facebook pages for pretty much every film that he's done. And he's on Tumblr, and he's on YouTube, like I said. So you can go check out some of those projects. And maybe if you're a filmmaker, maybe you'll get inspired to do your own project. He mentioned that he went to Spooky Empire, and that's where he got inspired in part. And that is a great festival to attend always as well. And that's about it, guys. If you missed any part of this interview today, you can go back and listen to it in its entirety. It'll be archived here. As always, if you are a filmmaker and you'd like to be on the show, please feel free to contact me. My email is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods@yahoo.com. And I'd be happy to look at your information. If you send me something and I don't get back to you, email me again, because I get a ton of email and sometimes I might miss something. So please email me again, follow up. And just keep putting it in front of me, and I'd be happy to take a look at it. Also, please go to our Facebook and like my Facebook page, which is Indie Streak, just like the show here, IndieStreak. I put up information there, like casting and castings and events that I don't put up anywhere else. So that's unique information. In addition, I have a website as well, which is independentstreak.ning.com. And I have reviews, other events, other castings, different interviews up there, too. So that's another site to keep an eye at, because as film festivals come along, I will be putting up a ton of stuff on there. For example, we have the Miami International Film Festival that's going on right now, but I don't attend that one as much. I just don't get down that far, actually. Unfortunately, I just don't get that far down to Miami that often. But I will be going to the Palm Beach Film Festival, which is coming up, I believe, in April. So that's not that far away. All right, guys, I will be back next week with another great director. And if you have missed any of the interviews, like I said, you can go back and listen to the on-demand. I've had some great interviews this month. I interviewed Joel Sotolongo last week, who's known for Work of Art. Before that, I had an excellent interview with Mark Feinberg, director of Play the Game. And before that, I interviewed Julie Dyer for Playroom. So I've had some great interviews this month, and I look forward to doing even more. So again, tune in next week, next Sunday at 1 o'clock, same time, and I will talk to you guys then. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.